Amen. Yeah, this morning we're excited to be here. Very excited. My name is Ken Leslie. I'm the assistant pastor here at Stony. And but this morning we have a slight detour from our Resolve message series that you see these banners here in front of you, and we're going to take a 1 week break to celebrate a time of communion together, the Lord's Supper, as well as just celebrate baptisms and just the individual's statement of declaration a little bit later in the service. And so I'm excited about that. But we want to talk about the specifics of communion and why is it that we celebrate the Lord's Supper. You know, the interesting thing is though, even though we're going to take a brief moment break from this Resolve series, I want to stay in Luke chapter 22. So if you do have your Bibles, you might want to open that up. It's not in your outline this morning. There is no outline, nothing to fill in the blanks. But if you have a Bible, you can open it to Luke 22. If you want to check out our YouVersion, if you go to the YouVersion app and you click on events, you'll see Stony Creek Church listed there, and it's the scriptures listed for you there. It'll also be on the screen. So, but Luke 22, and Luke 22 is leapfrogging next week's message. So next week, we're concluding this whole series, Resolve. The purpose Chris has been teaching us this series is Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. On his way to Jerusalem, he's teaching people, and he's teaching us, really, through the Gospel of Luke, we read this. And next week is the dramatic conclusion. Spoiler alert, he arrives in Jerusalem next week. And so you can be excited for that. I gave away the secret ending. But we're going to leapfrog that, and just let's pretend Jesus arrived in Jerusalem, and then we're going to read what communion and how Jesus celebrates that with his disciples in just a couple days after he arrives in Jerusalem. So Luke 22, if you look at Luke 22, verse 7 and 8, it says this. It says, "Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover.'" Now, many of us probably recognize that the Lord's Supper, this picture we have of, you know, I think it's Da Vinci, did he paint that? Or I don't know, who painted the Lord's Supper? I don't know. But, you know, that picture of the Lord's Supper, it wasn't just a regular meal. Jesus was like, "Hey, disciples, let's go have a meal." They were instead celebrating one of the most sacred festivals in the Jewish culture, that is Passover, the Passover feast. And this feast is what the Jews celebrated every year in remembrance of the moment where God saved the Israelites, his chosen people, from the hands of Pharaoh and slavery while they were in Egypt. In fact, we read about it in Exodus chapter 12. You don't have to turn in your Bibles, or it's not going to be on the screen, but I'll summarize Exodus chapter 12 for us. We have the original history where this meal begins, and this is during the time of the Israelites' slavery in Egypt. And God instructs Moses and Aaron to have the Jewish people sacrifice a perfect lamb. And using this lamb's blood, they're to cover the doorposts and to stay inside for the night. Now, this lamb becomes their meal, what they eat that night. But that same night, the Lord stated that he will pass through Egypt, bringing judgment for the oppression his people have faced. Every firstborn child and animal would be killed that night. But for those who followed God's instruction and put the blood, the sacrificial blood, on their doorposts, God would pass over their house. And this is where we get this word Passover, what the celebration is of this moment in history where God saved and freed his people from slavery and set them out on their journey that is ahead of them. Now, God instructed the Israelites to commemorate this day from that moment every year. And this would become a day of remembrance for what God had done for his people, the Israelites, the Jews. You see, the symbolism is rich, especially in the Gospel of Luke, as we read about this. I mean, you can probably already start to put together some of the pieces about how this is a symbolic meal in remembrance of God setting his people free, and yet now Christ institutes this meal in remembrance of him. You know, in the same way, Jesus is our sacrificial lamb. You know, an interesting little tidbit is that the sacrificial lamb in the Passover feast was selected 5 days prior to the meal. And so they would select the lamb and keep the lamb, and they would have this whole long 5-day celebration. Jesus enters Jerusalem next week, but Jesus enters Jerusalem 5 days before his crucifixion. But let's continue to read in Luke chapter 22. We're going to skip a few verses down into verse 14. It says, "When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, 'I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God.' After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.'" And maybe you're thinking to yourself, I got ahead of myself and I already started reading about the cup and sharing the cup, but not so fast. See, here in Luke, we have the recording of two cups being shared. This happens twice, and we're going to get to the second one in just a moment, but in order to kind of explain these cups of the Passover, I want to back up just a little bit. See, in the Passover feast, there were actually 4 cups of wine, and each one symbolized something unique. The first is taken before entering the upper room. This is known as or called the cup of sanctification. It's a big word. It's meant to represent being brought out of our burdens. The word burdens is normally tied in with this first cup, being brought out of our burdens. And traditionally, it's more focused on giving thanks for the lamb as the meal that evening for that Passover feast. And interesting, we don't have any record of this first cup in either Luke or Matthew, Mark, or John. In any of the gospel accounts of the Lord's Supper, we don't read about the first cup. We assume that it happened, especially because it was before you entered the upper room. And every account of the Passover or the Last Supper, we start in the upper room already. And so we assume that this cup was already shared. And even though we don't have it in Scripture, this cup was to give thanks for the lamb that was slain. And I think it's very poignant for us to surely thank Jesus for being our sacrificial lamb. So before we even get to taking communion together, just take a moment to thank Jesus for his sacrifice. Amen. This second cup that we just read about in Luke is only recorded in Luke's gospel. The other gospels just talk about the moment that we traditionally know and celebrate as communion. But in Luke's gospel, we get this second cup. And this second cup is called the cup of deliverance. The cup of deliverance. It symbolizes that God will deliver the people from bondage. This was the people's mark that said, God delivered us from slavery, from the oppression of the Egyptians. And in this way, we read in Luke that Jesus shares this with his disciples. He's communicating unity among his disciples, saying, share this, divide it up amongst you. He's communicating unity and highlighting the freedom that he's providing from the bondage of sin. See, no longer is it just the bondage of a physical slavery and oppression, But now it's from sin, something that we all struggle with. And this brings us to our time of remembrance together. You know, at this time, I don't know if the baptism need to go get prepared, but I also want to invite the elders to come down, and we're going to prepare for our time of remembrance together here. And so we're just going to have them come down and get ready. And as they're getting ready, just as the Israelites remembered what God had done for them, by providing salvation from slavery through this Passover meal or this Passover event, we look back at what Jesus has done for us, each of us, when we call ourselves, when we commit ourselves to following Jesus, when we say, I am a follower of Jesus. This moment is a way for us to symbolize that. He has provided us salvation from sin and eternal death. Now we're gonna receive these elements in a slightly unique, different way. So if you're used to the way we've always done it, just bear with me. I'll tell us kind of how we're gonna do this. It's very simple. Is we're gonna first pass out the bread, and that's gonna begin to be passed out. And as that's being passed out, we're also gonna then pass out the cup of juice. And I want you to hold in your hand the bread and the juice, and I know it's gonna make like passing a tray kind of difficult at times, you know. I think you guys can figure it out. So, but hold the bread and the juice cup in your hand. As you hold the bread, a small token, the reminder, the symbol in your hand, we continue reading in Luke, verse 19. It says, and he, it's talking about Jesus, and he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's remember Christ's sacrifice together. Now you have the cup in your hand as well. You know, this is the moment of the Passover feast where we had the third cup of the Passover meal celebrated. This cup was called the cup of redemption. It symbolized God saying, I will redeem my people or bring them back to me. This third cup, it was traditionally shared after the supper, just as we read in the beginning of Luke in verse 20. It says, in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup. And so we know that this is the third cup symbolizing God's redemption for us. Now take a moment and look at your cup. Look at that cup in your hand. And remember that all mankind, past, present, and future, face an eternity separated from God forever. But Jesus changed that. Jesus redeemed us. He brought us back to him through his blood. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Let's remember together. You know, as I said, there was four cups in the Passover meal. So let me tell you, the fourth cup was the cup of restoration. This cup symbolized God saying, I will take you for my people, and I will be their God. I will be your God. And this cup was a way for the people to look forward to the future together in community. We don't read about this fourth cup in any of the Last Supper accounts. But you and I, in this moment, we live it out. We have the hope of future, of salvation. And together in our community together, as believers together, we can celebrate the hope we have in Jesus. For those of us who follow Christ, we continue to look forward to the day of his return.